I think that was a good, thank you, Tim, by the way. Appreciate it. And so I'm not going to give any kind of dissertation on, is that the right word? Yes, okay. On what hypothetically this season's going to be like, except for the fact that, you know, we want to win, we want to win big. That's it. I think Jimmy Butler, you know, pretty much laid the groundwork, you know, as to what his expectations are. And I think through that and through his voice and what I've seen already is a gravitation to that kind of attitude. So we'll see what, you know, what plays out in training camp. I think we have to sort of find that out, and then we'll go from there. So I'll just open up the floor, anything you want to ask me. It's been a while, so go ahead. But I'm not going and getting roasted. My God, you're going to do Wade that bad? Go ahead.
All right. About a year ago, team went to camp feeling good about the roster it had, but clearly it was looking at other options also. You eventually addressed that with Jimmy in Minnesota and Tom Thibodeau and so forth. When you go into camp now, is this team still evolving even at the moment? Or is this a case where you are more confident maybe than a year ago, these 20 in some form, opening night, at least early in the season?
All teams are always evolving. The Golden State Warriors, you know, who went to five straight finals, you know, kept evolving, you know, from Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, to Iguodala, to, you know, KD, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even championship teams evolve to a level of, you know, even greater heights and maybe more longevity. It didn't happen there because, you know, just like with our Big Three team, the team broke apart, didn't break apart, it just sort of finished its run because of somebody's decision to move on. And that's what goes on in this league. With this particular team, I feel good. I felt good about last year's team. And I think somewhere in December, I don't know where it was, that I got the feeling that it was going to be harder when Goran got hurt. I think we had won five in a row or something, and then he went down, and we knew he was going to be out indefinitely. So, yeah, I just feel like there's been some change. Jimmy Butler is a great player. You know, I think he's a top 10 player myself. That's up for debate. And can we find others who will develop into those kinds of players, you know, on our roster? Can he help others become that kind of player? Can something happen, you know, through some other means to enhance this team? That's our goal. So I just like where we're beginning this season, Ira. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Pat, two things. One, do you anticipate everybody, all 20, being ready to go on Tuesday?
Everybody will be ready to go, probably with the exception of Kelly. He's still, you know, rehabbing from his knee injury with Team Canada. So I think from that standpoint, we'll have 19 ready to go. And I don't know what the prognosis is on KO, but you might say sometime during training camp that he'll be ready to hit the floor regular season. I mean, everything is so short now, Tim, that we'll just wait and see. But he's the only one.
The other thing was I wanted to ask you was Justice came out, I guess, a couple of weeks ago and said he wants to be the point guard on this team. Do you like that there's, again, I wasn't there, I just saw the stories, but do you like that there's open campaigning when you have what's perceived to be an incumbent starting point guard in Goran? Do you like Justice saying that he wants that job?
We found him $50,000 and we gave it to Goran. Enough said. No. look at he's a young man. I love Justice. You know, Jimmy Butler loves Justice. We all love Justice. We all know what kind of player Justice is, and I think what Eric Spoelstra's done has been an amazing job in turning, you know, this 19-year-old kid that we got here 4 years ago into a major ball-handling guard, okay? And don't put the word point on it. I just think he put that out there himself, unbeknownst that there is, you know, an all-star that we have at that position, if you want to name the position. You know, and so, you know, he wants to play. He wants to be productive. He wants to be involved more. And but I don't think he should have expressed it that way. And I think he understands that, you know, from that standpoint. And then if you take it in context, I know exactly where it happened and how it was said, because he was doing a photo shoot with Jimmy Butler up in Chicago that was supposed to be done with Iguodala, and they pushed him in there. Don't ask me how that happened. And then somebody asked him that question, and it came out. So 10 Hail Marys and only 5 Our Fathers. That's all he has to do. That's his penance. Yes. Ira? Oh, I'm sorry.
Jimmy said he wanted the Heat to be hated. Do you echo those?
What? No.
Jimmy Butler said he wanted the Heat to be hated going into this year. Do you echo those sentiments?
Well, it's part of our culture. You know, so, you know, I know you're bored with it, but it stays with you forever. Hardest working, best conditioned, most professional, unselfish, toughest, nastiest, most disliked team in the league. I think he got a feeling of that in the playoffs when we played them, you know, with the big three. So I think there's something to be said about that. I think we've talked enough about wanting to be respected, and in order to be respected in this league, at times you have to show the competition then, but you do it in a basketball manner. So, you know, what's happened in the league over the years, and it's just evolved into this kind of attitude and behavior is the fraternization of players and all of that, and the kumbaya, you know, kind of stuff. You know, it's never been me, and I think it doesn't affect the competition, but, you know, I do think that it does display some things to the fan that, how can you do that? You know, I mean, it's like, You know, Magic hugged Larry Bird, didn't he? Isaiah Thomas kissed Magic Johnson, so I'm wrong. If you get my drift, it's been going on forever.
Pat, this summer exceeded all expectations in terms of being able to get a franchise-type max player without any cap space, which was incredible. All that being said, did you get greedy to the point where was there a letdown that opportunities for maybe a second one weren't something which you did, and it was your decision? We're not naming names because of tampering, but there were opportunities. Was there any letdown in terms of not adding a second star, or do you say we added one without any cap space? It's been amazing. I'm happy.
I'm happy right now. You know, so, you know, the fact that Jimmy Butler wanted to come and play in Miami, you know, that was enough. You know, for me, that's a start with the players that we have and we've developed over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. You know, it's put up a shut up too, you know, time. And so, you know, Bam and, you know, and Justice and, you know, a lot of the young guys we have on the team that are now, you know, fixtures as young players, you know, with Kelly, you know, Deion's coming back, James Johnson is coming back. I mean, it's time to play. Gordon's coming back. This is a good team that over the last 5 years we've had a tremendous amount of adversity, probably more adversity. That's a great excuse, but we've had more adversity since LeBron left than probably any team in the league, you know, with what we tried to build after that, and, you know, with Chris, you know, becoming ill and then making the trade for Goran and then Dwayne leaving, and, you know, we tried to keep that thing going, but we had a lot of adversity with injuries. Justice missed the whole year, and so we would like to have a healthy year, a happy year, a hungry year, and keep our players healthy and see where it ends at the end of the season. So as far as getting somebody else, you know, first things first is that we're going to go to training camp with the team and I think show restraint as much as we can and as much discipline as we can with our roster. But if something ever presents itself, then, you know, we'll always take a look at it.
Pat, you've spoken sort of in two ways about Deion and JJ. You spoke very strongly at the end of last season about how you felt committed to the contracts offered, to who the players could be. You also spoke to a degree about disappointment, one, about the injuries that could have been prevented, maybe about the way the rehab took. Where do you stand right now with those two players? Are they cornerstones? Are they linchpins? Or do they have to earn their way back?
I love both guys. Look, I coached for 25, 30 years, and I've had a lot of players who are very talented, that I had some issues with for whatever reasons, but it didn't mean that I didn't love them. And guys who can compete are guys that I fall in love with. James Johnson is a competitor. Deion Waiters is a competitor. Both of them are very skilled, very talented. And prior to them coming here, they didn't get the opportunity, or if they did, it didn't work out. And they both came here and they played extremely well for us. And without going back into the year that we signed them to those contracts, as much as you keep throwing that out that they were bad contracts, if I'm a player and I'm always being measured on how much money I make versus what I'm doing out on the court, both of those guys performed extremely well for us. And so, look at excuses. They went through injuries. They got a little bit out of shape. Yesterday, they came back through in great shape. They worked hard all summer long, and now, they got to go to training camp and they got to compete like anybody else. But I'm glad we have both those guys healthy.
Pat, you kind of hinted at it, just the fact of there's so many different outlooks on how Jimmy is as a player, type, A-minus, A-plus kind of player. But is this the killer whale, the orca, like you said, at the end of the season that you were trying to acquire?
Jimmy Butler is, I think, one of the top 10 players in the league, okay? And we're going to find out, throughout the course of the season how he meshes in with our team. And I think the thing that, when I use those terms, okay, we all know what we're talking about, in free agency, or we all know what we're talking about with those kinds of players in the league. And the only measurement is going to be whether or not those kinds of players will have an impact on winning. And so every time we were able to acquire one, either through trades or free agency or development, and they had an impact on winning, then you have just answered the definition of what a whale or an orca is, okay? So we'll see what his impact on winning is, and that's what I'm encouraged about.
Pat, more so than just Jimmy as a player, how much do you think that this group needed Jimmy as the person, someone who's going to hold everybody accountable, not just the coaching staff doing it, but somebody on the court in practice? And it seems like some of the things that other organizations shy away from in terms of his personality might be things that this organization embraces.
Yeah. Well, I definitely embraced, all of the qualities that he had, if you check the boxes, what you're talking about, from that standpoint, Ethan. And he possesses all of those. Besides being, one hell of a basketball player, if you wanted to give him the ball and you play him 35 minutes a night, he could get 27, 7, and 7 for you. I mean, he has that kind of ability to do that. But I'm not so sure if that would equal winning, I mean, it might be great numbers for him. He's a very, very unselfish player. And he shared a story with me about one of the scrimmages last couple of days that these guys have been going on. And so the first scrimmage that he was in with one of our players, they lost. And so that means you got to sit. He was not happy with sitting, but he said the first scrimmage he never took a shot. He just kept passing the ball to everybody. And then one of the other guys on the team that was playing with him, he says, well, if we're going to win, you got to score. And so they know why he's here. And so we need, Jimmy not to just be a leader and put all that pressure on him to be a leader and be the guy that's going to control the locker room and be that. I think him as a person, as a basketball player, probably as a big-time scorer and defender, that comes organically. But yeah, Udonis down there too. We got some other, Justice has got great leadership quality, so you can't leave that alone to one guy. And a lot of that was put on Dwayne last year, and so everybody says that, you know, Jimmy Butler's got to inherit that now and take that mantle from Dwayne. Well, Dwayne's been around here for, you know, 15, 16, 17 years, and so, but we do expect that from him, yeah, and he's got to do it by example, and I think he will.
Pat, this idea of culture, which you brought with you in 95, has become a buzzword in sports now in the last decade, I guess.
So is my name next to it in the dictionary? Can I get credit for that?
Nobody uses dictionaries
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. I think the other words, Hannibal Lecter would be better, I think, next to that word.
Right. What do you, how do you keep the culture organic here? From here you're coming in with a new player who says he came in here because of the culture. Do you find players who fit the culture, or does the culture fit guys you bring in here?
I think it's both. I don't know what it's like, really, with 29 other teams. I don't hear, I don't care what it's like. I hear stories. The three things that I don't like, you know, inside of a culture is complaining, gossiping, okay, not working hard. I can't stand that, you know, so players start to complain, they start to gossip. You know, they start to become cynical about things, you know, it's too hard, it's too this or whatever. I have a hard time with that when you're a professional basketball player and you're making a good living. And so I think, you know, when we got here 25 years ago, you know, Mickey and I sat down and talked long about what he wanted. And he felt that I could maybe start that process of developing a culture in which there would be shared visions and shared ideals with players. And I think the best person, one of the first people that we ever got here that had that was Zoe. And so when Zoe got here, give him a basketball and a dumbbell and put him in the weight room, and that was it. It was all about work, it was all about effort. And it was easier to coach, you know, those guys in the 90s and than it is today. There's not a lot of players that have that kind of attitude. They're looking for a different way out. And so, but there are players also who have been places and have heard about this place, and they say, I want to be there. It's not draconian. It's not medieval, okay? It's a place where we expect professional basketball players to become world-class athletes, and we'll help you do that. Become the best player you can be, the best version that you can be. We'll help you do that. And to, you know, become nutritionally, you know, involved so you can get in shape. We'll help you do that. And if you want that, and to work for a great owner, and to be in a great city where we care about winning, and I'll say this because I'm not trying to kiss anybody's butt here, that we have a fair and balanced media, okay? Yes. And we do, and compared to other places. And so this is the destination point, and the culture that we have created, I'm proud of. And it's a culture that's been created about with continuity, and the continuity has to do with Tim, and you know, with Andy and with Adam, you know, over there, and Rob, and our coaching staff. And so you see the same faces every day. We get bored with each other sometimes, but most of the time, you know, we're all so competitive, and I think players like to be around something with their stability. So, I think players like coming here, and I think Jimmy was hungry for this kind of place. I hope he likes it, but it's going to be hard. He's going to find out.
Pat, Jimmy said earlier he's not an asshole like everybody thinks he is.
You cover the Dolphins?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. Special event you have here.
You got it. Okay.
he said that he's not an asshole like everybody thinks he is. Do you think he is, and does it matter, given the talent that he is, whether he is or not?
That he is an A.H.? He's not that. No. I mean, somebody asked, you know, him a question, and he has to defend himself. You know, I mean, he's a competitor. He has that in him out on the court. If somebody attacks him in the wrong way, then, you know, look out. You know, Dwayne was the same way. You kidding me? You know, all the great players in this league that have talent, they get attacked, game planned, you know, get hit hard, get knocked down, you know, guys get in your face, guys talk a lot in your ear. I mean, forget it. I mean, most of the time he'll just shut up and go back and just, he'll kick their butt, you know, from that standpoint. And it was really interesting, what you said, because, you know, he introduced me to a new artist, a guy by the name of Dermot Kennedy, an Irish guy from Dublin. His favorite song was The Power of Me, which you probably listened to, and the lyrics, the first two lines were, I want to be the king in your story. I want to get to know who you are. And we found out about that, and, you know, and so I've become a big Dermot Kennedy fan. I just told him today that he's coming to the Fillmore on February 20th. So, and he does. He wants to be the guy that can stir the drink, and he wants to get to know who we are, too, and he wants to win. So, no, I don't think he's that kind of person. I think just by listening to him up here, if you don't challenge him that way, he'll probably not curse, you know. And so, but if you challenge him, he'll, like most people do on TV today, they curse. Even I have over the last couple of years. I don't know how I get away with it. But he's not that. He's a great player.
Pat, would you mind speaking just a little bit about the other players acquired this summer? Was what you expect from Tyler and even Kendrick Nunn this season heightened at all by how well they played in summer league? And a word on Myers Leonard, too, and what he brings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Tyler, I mean, speaking to our draft pick, you know, first, he had a great summer. And I think what everybody says about him and how much he's getting, you know, written up in a very positive way. He's a very, very, very humble guy. I don't think he's said five words to me since we drafted him. He'll come over and shake my hand. He's very respectful, you know, and so, but when he gets out on the court, he really competes. He competes and he works hard. And he knows he's going to have to earn it. And so we all know he can shoot the ball. We all know that he has a toughness, you know, to him. And so we'll see. You know, I was like the seventh player picked in the draft from Kentucky in 1967. And then when I went to San Diego, my first day of training camp, Jack McMahon, after 5 minutes of practice, came over to me and said, that's the worst basketball that I have ever seen. Do you realize my job is on the line? I picked you number seven? And he never scouted me. He didn't even know. He just said that anybody who can get, you know, through a back surgery and play a season, then I would pick you. Well, that's what the scouting was about back then, Adam. You know, I had a mediocre career. And so it all starts in training camp. And we'll find out about Tyler. Myers Leonard, we saw what he could do in the last game against Portland. I mean, Portland against, I don't know who he got 30 against. I can't remember the team right now. But maybe we catch Myers at the right time, because he was 19 when he came in. So he's like 4 or 5 years now, and it develops. So it's the 2 or 3 years that you don't play, you're developing. There's somebody ahead of you. They got 2 or 3 centers. He doesn't get in that much. But we like what he's done, and we love the fact that he can really stretch the floor, and he's got great size, he sets good picks, and got a great head on his shoulder from that standpoint. Canine, you know, he's like a German Shepherd, man. You know, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think, you know, when we were talking about it, you know, last April with Adam Simon and Chet Kammerer and all of our scouts about, you know, being able to sign him, you know, on the last day of the season and then have the kind of summer league that he had, then we like that kind of opportunity as getting the free agent and maybe he can become, you know, Tyler Johnson, Giannis Haslem, you know, somebody like Ike Austin, you know, that can really play. So, you know, Derek Jones Jr., he's had 2 years though, okay, and we know what he can do. You know, KZZ, he's just like Derrick Jones Jr. He's just younger, a little bit younger from that standpoint. And I think from that standpoint, you know, all the players that we've had in here this summer that have been working hard, you know, we're excited about. But they got to prove it out on the court, and we'll see on Tuesday at the first practice. A couple more questions, and then I'll let you guys get on with your wonderful September.
There's like 3 days left in our wonderful
3 days, that's right, yeah.
How do you define MVP?
What's that?
How do you define MVP?
Most valuable person. Is it most valuable player? How do I define it? Well, I think not necessarily. No, no. You know, I remember the biggest game that we may have played in the playoffs. I don't know if it was against Houston or somebody, when I was coaching Magic, and he had a line where he was 0-for-3 from the line, I mean from the field, 13-for-13, 13 rebounds, 13 assists, and 6 or 7 steals, and won the game by 20. And this was a guy that could win games without scoring and do all the other things to get everybody else off. And he was a 3-time MVP. You know, we all know how great Magic was as a player because of his size. He was, you know, he was an oxymoron when he came into the league at 6'9 as a point guard. That's when they really labeled point guards. And so a most valuable player is a guy that has the most impact, you know, on winning, the most impact on player improvement, the most impact on helping other players get theirs. I can remember him saying one time that Byron Scott is going to lead the team in scoring. He has to lead the team in scoring for us to have the balance to be able to help Kareem and James. And he had that kind of a mind, and so he never cared about what he was going to do. He just wanted to win. And so to me, a most valuable player is a guy that that has the greatest impact on your team winning, and also obviously he has the talent.
Just a word about Udonis and his his return for a 17th season and how his role even continues to evolve at this point.
Well, when we talked after the season, I said, UD, what do you want to do? You want to play or you want to coach? And he said, I don't want to coach. I said, why? I said, you're like a coach right now in the locker room, you know. And I'll mark my words, one day he's going to coach. You keep telling me, no, coach, I'm not going to coach. But one day, Byron Scott used to say the same word to me, I'm not going to. And so, Juwan Howard, that kind of thing. But UD is quintessential. He's the prodigal son. He is quintessential to almost everything we do. His influence as a person and as a man and as a player is so respected. He's just so respected by our guys. And not to play that much and to keep himself in great shape and to be part of it. I keep accusing him of, oh, you just want to play another year. I mean, $2.5 million is $2.5 million. Or, you know, the licensing is another year of licensing. Oh, you know, your pension or something. Is that what you're doing? You and Vince Carter did the same thing, you know? No, coach. And he still wants to compete, wants to be part of a team. And it's one of the hardest things that a player ever has to do is when they sort of move away from that family of 17 years. It's really hard to move on into something else, but I'll buy his pretzels. I'll have them delivered to my house, or the pizza. I'll have it delivered to my house. He will have an income after by me helping him and his businesses grow. One more, if anybody has any.
Hi,